So today, today we're going to talk about health assessments and the introduction. Oh, a little bit more about me. I got my bachelor's from this fine institution, bachelor's of science in biology, chemistry minor. Went to UF, got a bachelor's of nursing, then a master's of nursing, and then a PhD in nursing. So I am bachelor, master, doctor. But you can just call me Dr. Heyman or Professor Heyman. I'm board certified nurse practitioner. I've worked in both hospital setting and in outpatient settings. And I also teach ballroom and Latin dancing. It's how I put myself through school. I actually taught some classes here for a couple semesters, but just don't have time to do that anymore. But we might learn an occasional step or two while we're here. I was a missionary kid. I grew up in South America, a little bit in Africa. So I speak Spanish, but I do not speak Cuban. So. As far as the course goes, well, actually, this is for the regular class, so for us, it's going to be different. We're going to have 2 hours of class, and then we'll have approximately 2 hours of lab-ish. Usually, it'll be a little bit less. Occasionally, it might need to be a little bit more, but generally speaking, it'll be about two and two. All right.
And this class is Monday through Friday?
Monday through Thursday.
Okay.
Same as...
On my PBX, Monday through
right.
Friday.
Right. Yeah, it's wrong.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, Monday through Thursday. All right. So, first question we have to ask in health assessment is, what is...
Health.
So tell me, what do you think, how would you know that you're healthy?
Blood pressure, heart rate is normal.
Okay. Boo! Did your heart rate just go up?
Maybe.
Does that mean you weren't normal for that second?
Probably not.
Probably not. So how do I know you're healthy? How do you know you're healthy?
No pain.
Okay. I feel good. All right, that's one possible way of you're healthy because you feel good. But what if you have cancer?
Then you're not healthy.
But I feel good. Okay, so maybe it's if you just don't have any diseases. All right, so we typically call that the medical model of health. So the medical model says that health is lack of disease. But what if you don't have any diseases, but I still feel crappy? And they run all these tests, and, well, they can't find anything wrong with you. You're not sick. But I don't feel good. Okay. Now, some people function in what they call the functional model, which says, as long as I can do my ordinary, everyday functions, I'm healthy. So, as long as I can go to work, I'm healthy. As long as I can be a good mom, I'm healthy. Doesn't matter how I feel. Doesn't matter whether my body is being ravaged by disease. As long as I can keep doing what I do, I'm healthy. So this is kind of the model that drug users typically use. You know, they've lost their family. Their life is in shambles. But I'm still a good doctor. I'm still a good lawyer. You know, as long as they can keep functioning as their job, I must be healthy and there's no problem. There's another one that's called wellness model. And the wellness model says that not only do you have to be free from disease or relatively free from disease, and you have to kind of feel good, but also be promoting things, living a way that would help promote health. We typically call that the wellness model. It's a little bit bigger picture than either the functional model or the medical model. And then we have something we call system stability, which says when you learned way back in 7th or 8th grade life science, what is it that all animals want to come back to? It's an H word. Homeostasis. So what it says is that a person is healthy if their body can continue to bring them back toward a kind of a homeostasis. So they might get sick occasionally, but as long as their body can respond and they can adapt in such a way that they can adapt to that illness and come back to a homeostasis, then they're okay. So those are some different models of health. Now, this term down here, allostasis, is a little bit different than homeostasis because it says that as your environment changes, that point of homeostasis can move. So, as a person, say a person exercises, And as they get stronger, their point of homeostasis doesn't stay in one place, but it continues to move to a different place. And that's the idea behind allostasis. All right, now, in terms of health assessment, where does it fall in the nursing process? Where? Okay, it's the first step, and it is also the last step. So, in evaluation, you have to do an assessment to find out whether your goals were met. So we start out with assessment. Let's see what the patient is. And then we do all of our stuff. And then we have to see, well, okay, well, did it work? Is the patient better or is the patient worse or was there no change? We use five variables, we call them person variables, to describe different aspects of health. Now, Betty Newman came up with, well, she didn't come up with these, but she kind of systematized them, so we use her name. But there's several different, you know, you don't have to, several different people who use this idea of these five aspects of people. So the first one is physiological. This is the body. So when we talk about physiological health, we're talking about the health of the organism. You as an animal. I'm not an animal, I'm a person. All right, then we have what we call psychological. This is you as a thought person. It's a thinking health. Also includes emotional. Then we have what we call sociocultural, which is the interactions between you and other people. Your family, the world at large, your job, your employer, your roommates, your sons, daughters, your spouse, etc. And then we have what we call developmental health. Because how did you start out? Did you pop out just the way you are now? How'd you start out? As a baby. So in order to get to where you are now, you had to grow and develop. So that idea of people do not start out one certain way and stay that way their whole life. They grow and develop is the idea of developmental health. So you might be healthy in a point in time, but if you do not continue to develop properly, that can be a lack of health or a modifier of health. And then what we have the spiritual dimension. Now, Palm Beach Atlantic University is what kind of school?
Christian.
So the idea here is that a person is also a spiritual being, and there's also spiritual health involved. So all of these different aspects of a person make up a totality of health. Now, even if you were not going to a Christian school, you'd still hear about spiritual health. It's one of the big aspects in healthcare now that the Joint Commission, which is the accrediting body for hospitals, is beginning to say, you know, there's not enough spiritual care going on in hospitals. We need to make sure that we don't just take care of people's bodies, we take care of them as a complete person. And spiritual health is part of that package. All right, now, in terms of holistic assessment, when we use the word holistic, what do we mean? The whole person. So we're not just taking an aspect of them, but we're assessing the whole person. So there's a couple things in here. We have something that's called humanistic. Now, the word humanistic is what I call a big word, and the reason it's big is because it can mean more than one thing. But when we talk about humanistic holistic assessment, what we're talking about is assessment of the entire person. So how many of you have ever seen the movie The Doctor? No? 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 All right, well, write that down on your to watch list of movies.
Just The Doctor.
The Doctor. It's about a doctor who becomes sick and becomes a patient himself and his experiences in that. And one of the things that the movie shows is that the doctors in this particular hospital where he worked didn't think of their patients as people. They thought of them as diseases. So it was the appendicitis in room 11, you know, the heart attack in, it's not the patient who's had a heart attack, it's the heart attack. So when we talk about humanistic, what we mean is keep in mind that the person you're assessing is a person, not just a set of you know, vital functions, not just a disease, but they're actually a person. Then we have what we call reductionistic versus holistic. Reductionistic is you reduce it to a part. So here's the classic example of a physician specialist. When I worked at Shands, there was a patient in who they thought he might have had a heart attack. So I went through all these tests. The cardiologist came in and he says, "Well, it's not your heart." And the patient says, "So, well, what is it?" "I don't know. It's not your heart." Yeah. He could only assess the heart. That's all he knew. That was his specialty. And he could assess the heart really well, but he had no basis to really assess the rest of the patient. So that idea of, are we going to assess just one little part, or are we going to assess the whole? Now, which one is better? It depends.
Is there a medical community carrying into that just a bunch of specialty?
Nobody really wants the whole. Yes, there is a tendency towards specialization. Part of that's driven by money. Specialists make more than general practitioners. But the real answer to that question is, it depends. Yeah, if you've got a heart attack, the last thing you want to be doing, okay, maybe the first thing you want to do is say, are you right with God? Maybe, but you want to try and save the person's life, get help their heart problem, before you start saying, "So, tell me about your social situation. Are you happy at home?" Yeah. You want to choose the appropriate assessments. Yes, dealing with the whole person is important, but sometimes we need to focus on one specific part. Now, if a person's not breathing, that's not the time to be asking, "Are you in pain?" Okay? Now, it is important to make sure we include all of these other aspects in our assessments, but they don't always take priority. So that's one of the things that we're going to have to learn as we go through nursing school, is the prioritization of assessments. Now, way back in 7th grade health class, you guys had health class in high school? Okay. Now, there was some guy, his name was Maslow, and he had this triangular-shaped drawing. Do you remember that? What was it called?
Hierarchy of needs.
So what was at the very bottom of that hierarchy?
Food.
Okay, so basic necessities of life. Food, shelter, water, you know. Then right above that was safety and security. So that included things like a home, a shelter, a place where you felt safe. Then above that was affection, family, friends. Then above that we had self-esteem. So above that was self-esteem, and then above that was self-actualization. Now, personally, I don't think Maslow was completely right on his upper part, but the bottom part is very applicable to healthcare. You really don't want to be dealing with the person's psychosocial needs until you make sure that they're not going to die. Okay. So the hierarchy of assessment is, you always start with ABC. What does that stand for? You CPR certified people. Airway, breathing, circulation. So if a person's not breathing, first thing to take care of. Once you know they're breathing, then circulation. So heart and bleeding. If the person's bleeding, stop the bleeding. If the person's having heart problems, deal with the heart problems. Now, when you're dealing with those problems, there's a lot of downtime. So, you know, you do a certain assessment on the heart and you start the treatment. Well, now you have time to do the rest of the assessments. So it doesn't mean you have to wait until the heart is fixed. It just means you have to take care of the heart first. Does that make sense? So when we're talking about these assessments, you need to use judgment and assess what's appropriate first. And so part of our course is going to be designed that way. We're going to learn about heart and lung before we learn about intestines and neurological stuff. Because if the heart's not working, if the lungs aren't working, well, there's no reason in assessing their neurological function. And then finally, we have what we call the perception of the nurse and patient. It's important to assess not only from our point of view, but also from the patient's point of view. Okay, so we have a certain assessment of them, but we also want to find out what their assessment of themselves is. We also want to find out how well those two things jive together. Sometimes the patients need to be educated. You know, if a person is operating under the "I feel good" model of health, but is about to die from an aneurysm, you know, you need to explain to them, you know, my assessment of your health is not the same as your assessment of your health, and here's why. So that involves some patient education and some communication.